getting to their classes. All right. Hope everybody is getting over all your sickness. I actually feel like some type of a normal human. I haven't been coughing all week, so that's been a blessing. So just pray that Scott kind of gets back his breath. I've had pneumonia before, and that is not a fun thing to go through. So definitely be praying for him. I do have an update on Brother Kevin. I talked to him yesterday. He sent me a text. Let's see if I can find it. I can kind of read what he wrote. That way I don't mess anything up. Doctor said the mass was cancer, but he got all of it. No treatments. They're going to wait 6 months and do a CAT scan, another 6 months and a CAT scan, then a year and a CAT scan. Chances of return are low, single digits. Praise God, is what Brother Kevin said. So definitely keep him in prayer. But I talked to him yesterday for probably about 30, 45 minutes, and he was very, very just, and he was on cloud nine. He said, I know it's bad when you hear that somebody's got cancer and all that kind of stuff. He said, I just put it in the Lord's hands and he took care of me. He said he always has and he always will. And he was very uplifted, and I'm sure that he was kind of relieved when all that was said and done, that they got everything and took care of all that. But now we just need to pray for him as he goes back for his scheduled stuff, that they won't find anything else and everything will just be good from here on out. So, and I'm glad he didn't have to have any extra treatments or any of that kind of stuff. Some of y'all have been through that, know that that's bad on your body, can tear you down. So I'm glad to hear that. I did talk to him about doing a revival for us this year. And he's probably going to do the first. I'm trying to do two this year. He's going to probably do the first revival that we're going to have. And he was pretty excited about that. And I don't know how we're going to work the dates out yet. I'm kind of letting him do that because of him having to take so much time off of work and all that kind of stuff. I want to make sure that it's feasible for him to be able to do that, however that works out for him. We're going to kind of work around his schedule for that. And it may look a little different than normal. We may have to do something a little, may not be your normal Sunday through Wednesday deal. We may have to kick it and do it through, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It may look a little different, but I want him to be able to do it, and I think that he would enjoy being here and preaching again. I know that he told me to let y'all know that he appreciated all the cards and the text and all that kind of stuff, and he was very just thankful for y'all and the way that you've treated him. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you encouraging him, and continue to do that. This morning we're going to get into our study on renewing your mind. We talked a little bit last week about what we were going to do starting off this year, and I feel like renewing your mind is a good place to start at the beginning of the year. I read a book, and been reading it again, and it's a good book. It's on changing your mindset and how to deal with certain things. And I don't give a whole lot of information on books, because a lot of times when you read books like that, you have to sift through a lot of bad to get to some of the good. And that's one of those kind of books. If you can handle it, it's great. If you are, you know, sound with your doctrine and sound with your Bible beliefs, you can read a lot of different things and you can get a lot of different things from a lot of different people. And that's fine. You can go look at commentaries and read commentaries from just about any preacher and you can get something out of it. But you have to make sure that you know what you believe so that you can sift through some of the bad things and get to the good part. So that's what this kind of book that I've read is. It's got a lot of good stuff in it, but it does have some stuff that you kind of sift through a little bit. So I'm not going to give you a whole lot of information on the book itself. If you would like to know what the book is, by all means, come ask me. I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what I think about the preacher. I'll tell you what I think about the book overall. And if you would like to read it, you can purchase it and you can read it for yourself. It is a good book, but like I said, you do have to sift through some of the bad. If you're willing to do that, it's a really good book. But he had a lot of good content as far as how to change your mindset on things. And some of that stuff I'm going to bring up, some of the stuff that he said, I'm going to kind of bring that up a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I'll tell you right there that God Himself wants us to have a sound mind. He wants us to know what we believe, why we believe it. Doctrinally, He wants us to understand why we stand for the things that we stand for, and He wants us to have a sound mind. He wants our mind to be on the things of God constantly. He tells us to pray without ceasing, right? And sometimes we get into the mindset of, oh, you have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray. No, it's a state of mind that you're in constantly. It's a state of mind. It's being able to tell yourself, hey, God is always with me and God is always concerned with what I have going on in my life. And when you really grasp that, man, it kind of can change the way you think. If you can always think about God is always right there, willing to help you, ready to be able to help you with whatever you're dealing with in your life, man, that is amazing to think that God takes the time to be able to care for you and your problems. He cares for you and your problems. As small as they may seem, God is always right there willing to help you. Willing to help you. He wants you to have a sound mind. Now turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, this is going to be our key verse. And you've heard it many, many times, but this is going to be our key verse for this whole study. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Everybody wants to know what the will of God is for their life, right? You search for it, don't you? You probably have done that, especially as a younger person. Everybody's trying to walk around and they're going, "Well, what does God want me to do? What does God have in store for me in my life? What does God want me to do?" If you want to know what God's will for your life is, He tells you right here. "And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you want to know what the perfect will of God is in your life, then you have to renew your mind and get off the things of this world and get on the things of God. You have to change. You have to change. You have to be able to sit there and say, "You know what? I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is who I was, but that's who I need to be." Christian, to be a Christian is what? To be Christ-like. So if you want to be like Christ, guess what? You have to change your mindset. You have to change your mindset. We get into this world where sometimes it's just like you get so bogged down with everything. Everything is so important when really it's not that important. It's really not that important. There are some things in life that you come up against and they truly are very important situations. I think about Brother Kevin yesterday and just talking to him on the phone and I'm listening to him talk about the situation, and I sit there and go, you know, if that's me, man, my mind is just, whew, it's everywhere. Am I going to die? Am I going to live? Are they going to get it all? And I can even say this, even at this point with Kevin, I would be sitting there going, is it going to come back? Is it just a matter of time? But you take somebody like Kevin who has turned it completely over to God. And he's changed his mindset on the situation that he's in to the point to say, hey, God's got it. If he brings it back, God's got it. If they miss some of it, God's got it. If I die because of it, guess what? God's got it. He's always in control. He's always been in control. And he isn't going to change now. Why? Because his mindset is different. He's had a renewing of his mind. He's not thinking about the things of the world anymore. He's thinking about the things of God. He's thinking about the things of God. Why? Because God is in control of his life. Sometimes I think it's, and I'm going to say this because Kevin said it the other day and it was very true. Sometimes it's good to go through some stuff. And that's hard to say. And I don't wish cancer on anybody. I don't wish any just health problems on it. But sometimes when you go through those things, man, just how it changes you. How much closer to God do you actually get when something is going wrong? We don't really think about that often, but at the bad times in your life, you're closer to God usually than when it's the good times. Should it be that way? No. You would think, man, when you're on a mountaintop, boy, you should just be praising God and just thanking Him and just all hyped up and everything's great. But in reality, it's usually when you're in the valley that you're closer to God, because you're sitting there saying, God, get me out of it. God, fix this situation. God, this is not the way I want it to be. You see, we're closer to God when it's bad. So sometimes I think those bad situations are actually good to go through. They're good because they change the way you think about things. They change the way that you look at things. They make you understand that, hey, God is real. God is real. And I sit back and, you know, we know that God is real. We know that He died on the cross for our sins. We know that He saved us. But do you really know that He's real? Do you really know it? Sometimes I get this feeling that we have a lot more head knowledge of God than heart knowledge of God. We talked about it last week. They have that form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That's the world you live in right now. Everybody's spiritual, right? Everybody's saved. Just go ask somebody. Just go ask somebody. But the problem is when you say, how do you know that you're saved? They can't really give you an answer. They'll make up a bunch of stuff. You see, that's the problem. People have a head knowledge of God, but not a heart knowledge of God. Do you feel locked up or taken captive? Have you considered you may be trapped in a self-made prison? You may feel held back from living the life you want to live, not experiencing the relationship you want with God. If you think you're trapped, if you believe there is a lock on the door, you've bought into the lie. And that lie is holding you back. To be made free, you must remove the lie and replace it with truth. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you want to be free, you have to remove the lie and start replacing things with truth. You see, that's what we do every single solitary day. I also saw this in the book, and I thought this was really good. We cannot change what we do not confront. You cannot change what you do not confront. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, you'll get in this mindset in this. I've been there. I do it, okay? This is stuff I deal with. This is stuff that I've looked at, okay? Why? Because I want to change the way that I think. I want to change the way that I wake up in the morning and start my day thinking about the things of God instead of thinking about all the negativity that can come into my mind. You see, we have a tendency that when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we think about is what we have to do that day, right? The first thing that you think about is what you're doing that day. And it doesn't matter whether you work, whether you're young, whether you're retired. It's all about what you've got to accomplish that day. Brother Randy wakes up, you're thinking about what yards I got to get done. Is there anybody else I need to go check on? You're sitting there thinking about all this stuff. When I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, what does the job list look like at Signmaster? And what is Tommy going to have me doing this week? Because Thursday and Friday I was hanging over the top of a rafter and I don't like heights. And I thought I was going to pass out. My legs have been cramped up for all weekend. Because if you strapped into a harness, I'm good with that. But when you just on a ladder, not so much. Not so much. About 12 foot, I'm done with it. But they was up there 30 feet and we're hanging speakers because Tommy wants to put speakers up. But I'm sitting there thinking about what I got going on in my day. What's the next thing that's going to happen? And a lot of times that can consume my mind to the point that I forget about the things that of God. I put him on a back burner. I put him on a back burner. Why? Because it's easy to get caught up with the things of the world. I can get caught up with my kids. You ever thought about that? That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to think about your children and to wonder what their day is going to be like and hope that they have a good day and hope that your wife has a good day and all these kind of things. But if you really want to change your mindset, don't you think you ought to put them on the things of God first? Do you think you ought to put them on the things of God first? If I could challenge you to do something this week, here's some good homework, okay? Here's a really good homework. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and everybody's going to start their day how you normally do, okay? If you get up every morning and you read your Bible and you pray, I'm going to ask you not to do it on Monday. Never heard a preacher say that before, have you? If you get up every morning, you read your Bible and you pray, I want you to wait. I don't want you to do it first thing in the morning, okay? You can do that later on in the afternoon or you can do that at night. But just on Monday, just do your normal thing. If you don't read your Bible and you don't pray first thing in the morning, then you just do your normal thing, okay? And I want you to do that. And I want you to see how your day goes. I just want you to get a good grasp of it. Just try it one time, okay? Just try it. But Tuesday, I want you to do it differently. Tuesday, I want you to wake up early enough to be able to read one chapter. And I want you to read Romans chapter 12. That's what I want you to read. Just read Romans chapter 12. One chapter, okay? Not a whole lot. Just one chapter. And then I want you to get on your knees before God. And I want you to pray that God gives you a good day. You can add whatever else you want into there, okay? You can ask Him to help situations. You can help Him to ask other people. You can ask Him to help all your family members. I don't care what you put in there, but just basically ask Him that you have a good day. See what the difference is in the days. Just see what the difference is. Now, I know that some of you are like, you don't understand, I have to get up to go to work early. Yeah, I do too. Okay? I do too. I've told you before, I get up usually around 4 sometime. Somewhere around at 4. That's when I get up every morning. Why? Because I have to study. And everybody's asleep at 4. I can study all I want to. Nobody bothers me. I don't have to be at work until 7. So I get up relatively early. The only day that I don't get up early is Monday. That's my day off. I don't do a whole lot of studying. I just take the day off because Sunday's hard on a preacher. I know you think that it's not. Try it sometime. I guarantee you'll think it's hard. So Monday, I take off. But I do get up early enough Monday to be able to read my Bible and pray, and then I go start my day. I always allot myself enough time to be able to do those few little things. If I'm just overly tired, I will find a way to be able to start my day off that way. And I will say this, the times that I miss it, because I don't always get it right, okay, you're not always going to get it right. The times that I miss it are the worst days that I ever have. That's the times I go to work and it's just like, I can't stand anybody. Y'all are just driving me nuts. Why? Because my thought pattern is not on the things of God. It's on just the things of this world. It's changed. You see, you have to renew your mind and you have to do it daily. This is not a process that you do one time and it's over. You ever thought about that? Paul said he died daily to the flesh, right? He died daily to the flesh. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's probably more spiritual than you. Would you agree? You'd agree? He's more spiritual than you. He's more spiritual than me. But yet he died daily to the flesh. That's the reason why we're looking at some of this stuff. You see, Paul had a lot of stuff going on in that mind. Paul had a lot of things going on in that mind. Man, you just imagine the places that he'd been and the places that he'd preached and the way people talked to him and the way people treated him.
But yet he died daily to the flesh. Why? To be more like Christ. So that he could do what God called him to do, which was to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. You see, he knew what his job was. He knew what God wanted him to do. So he made it a purpose in his life to be able to sit there and say, I will renew my mind and I will do it daily. I will do it daily. When you sit back and you start thinking about the things of your mind and how they change, we looked at Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You think your adversary is your spouse sometimes, or your child, or your boss, or the situation that you're in. And I'm here to tell you, it's not that. It's the devil himself. That's your adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. That's his whole entire goal, is to destroy you. What's the best way for him to destroy you? Get in your mind. You think about all the lost people that walk around in this world. He doesn't waste his time with lost people. They're already dying and going to hell. He's already got them. Why would he waste his time with them? So what does he do? He tries to devour the Christian. He tries to devour the Christians. What does he want to do? He wants to destroy your testimony is what he wants to do. He wants to destroy your testimony. You say you stand up for God and you stand up for the things of God, but you see, if he can get in your mind and start telling you, hey, you know, church really ain't all that important. Reading that Bible is not really that important. The way you talk is not important. The way you act is not important. If he can get in your mind, then what ends up happening? You're not Christ-like anymore, are you? Then you get to the point that you don't even start telling anybody about Jesus Christ anymore. Why? Because in your mind, you have been defeated. In your mind, you realize just how worthless you truly are. And that's the place that he wants you to be. He wants you to think that you have no place telling anybody about Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're just like them. And he destroys your mind to the point that you just don't do anything for God anymore. You do nothing for him anymore. You don't care anything about the things of God anymore. And he destroys your mind. And he's your adversary. And then he turns it on you. And that's when you get in your mindset that your wife's the problem. That your kids are driving you nuts. Our kids all drive us nuts. It's just the way that it works. I got great kids, but I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes, whoo, on the way here, I mean, they're arguing about somebody touching a cup. Like, really, it's a cup. It'll be all right. Your situation will tear you down. We talk about Kevin and the situation that he's been in. Boy, man, if the devil could have just got in that mind. If the devil could have just kind of snuck in there and said, you know what? You said God would always be there for you. So why in the world is he letting you go through this? You've preached for him. You've sang for him. You've got up and you've worshiped him. You go to church every week and you try to be a good church member and you try to be, you've told people at your job about God and yet he lets you deal with this. You see, if the devil could have got in his mind, it would have changed everything. But Kevin had to renew his mind daily. You see, it wasn't a one-time process. He had to actually sit there and say, you know what, God? You're in control. And even when he didn't think God was in control, he was telling himself, God's in control. You think about Paul, I think myself happy. He tells King Agrippa, I think myself happy. Sometimes you don't feel that way, but you have to think that way. That's hard. That's hard to get in the mindset that you sit back and go, you know what? I don't understand the situation I'm in, and I don't understand how I'm going to handle it, but God, you're good anyway. Those are the things I sit back, you know, and when I get in those situations, I have this tendency, this is the one thing that always bring me back. I just think about what He did on the cross for me. I just put that in my mind. When everything falls apart in my life and I'm trying to figure out how to cope with it all and how to get my mind wrapped around the situation, I just sit back and go, you know what? He went to that cruel Roman cross and shed His blood for somebody who did not deserve it. That ought to be good enough. That right there ought to be good enough to change your mind. That ought to be good enough to sit there and say, you know what? God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I remember when I became a preacher, you're talking about getting discouraged. I remember everybody saying, are you sure that's what you're supposed to be doing? You're a really good singer. I remember those days. I remember everybody saying, are you sure that's what you're supposed to do? I remember going places to preach and people walking up and saying, I don't know about that. I read the story in this book that I told you about, and this man was talking about, he went to seminary. I don't really agree with that, but whatever. You know, you have to sift through the bad. He goes to seminary. Got to get educated. So he goes to seminary and he said he went through seminary and he was struggling with what God wanted him to do. His dad was a professional baseball player and apparently he wasn't athletic enough to be a professional sport athlete. So he felt like God was calling him to preach. He felt like God was really calling him to pastor. And he dealt with that struggle. So he went to seminary and of course that was where you're supposed to get it all together and fix it, right? So he went to seminary for all these years and he got ready to do his ordination service. And the Southern Baptist Convention would not ordinate him. They wouldn't sign the papers. They said that he was not what they were looking for. Wasn't what they were looking for. He said back in the day when he got out of seminary that the thing about it was, you know, they were a little stricter is what he said. Now, I'm independent Baptist. That's real strict compared to Southern Baptist, so I can't imagine what they was dealing with. But he said they didn't preach the same way that they wanted him to preach. He didn't say the things. He didn't have the same demeanor that they wanted. They wanted somebody that was a little harsher and somebody that was had a little more grit, and he was a lot more reserved in his delivery and how he handled things. So they wouldn't give him his ordination. So he went back to school. And he came back a little bit time later and said, well, okay, now I've been through some more schooling and I'm ready to be ordained to be able, so I can go on, I can move on into my ministry, I can start to pastor. And they rejected him again. They rejected him again. Now, can you imagine that? That's what God called him to do. God called him to preach. God wanted him to be a pastor. That's what he truly felt that God wanted him to do. But yet they wouldn't sign his papers. He wrote this in the book. You are not who others say you are. You are who He says you are. Boy, get that. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about you. It matters what God wants you to do. I don't care how many people think I can't preach. It don't matter. That's what God called me to do. I don't care how many people think you're not good enough to be a pastor. Guess what? It doesn't matter. That's what God called me to do. When God wanted me to sing, I was a singer. Was I the best? No. Was I Ivan Parker? Could I sing a Midnight Cry like him? No, I couldn't. But guess what? I could sing it like I was supposed to do it. I could do what God equipped me to do. This gentleman, he left the Southern Baptist Convention.
He said, well, I'm just going to go pasture then. Right now, he has one of them campus churches. I don't like all that. I'm not all about all that stuff. You know, the life churches and all this stuff. You got to sift through some bad. But I will say this. Joker's got 12 campuses right now all over the U.S. And Southern Baptist Convention is probably regretting everything they did not ordinate him for. So let's bring it back home a little bit. If God calls you to do something, are you going to do it no matter what? Even if they tell you you can't? Even if somebody tells you you shouldn't? Are you still going to just say, you know what, God called me to do it and that's what I'm going to do? When everybody says, hey, you ought to quit preaching it like that, you going back down? I could really get on my Sunday morning sermon right now, but I'm holding back just a touch, okay? Because I got somewhere I'm going this morning with it. But I could just preach straight through if you'd like me to. We could just keep going. Man, I sit back and I think about the things God's called me to do. And if I let everybody else get in my mind, man, I would have missed a lot of good stuff. If I'd have listened to everybody that said I couldn't sing or I shouldn't sing or that it was that's not the right thing to do or you need to do it this way, if I'd have listened to all those people, guess what? Man, you're talking about missing out on some stuff. I used to write down how many people I got to lead to the Lord when I was singing. There's a list of people. Well, I think we quit doing it after a while, but there was a lot of people. Think about all those people that I'd have missed out on that opportunity. If I'd have listened to all these people that told me I shouldn't have preached, guess what? There'd have been a lot of missed opportunities. There'd have been a lot of missed opportunities in this church. And that was worth it, right? If just one more soul walks down the aisle, it's worth it, right? If just one more walks down the aisle, it's worth it. It doesn't matter what everybody thinks. It doesn't matter what everybody says. All that matters is what God called you to do. You got to change the way that you think, and you got to do it daily. I was going to end a different way, but we'll get into it next week, and we'll just kind of pick up and keep going with all this stuff. I hope that you get something out of this, changing your mindset, changing the way that you think. I was going to give you a little bit of homework, but because I didn't get to it, I'm going to not do that because I don't have time to explain it all. But next week, I'm going to give you homework. Amen. It's the kind of homework you don't technically have to do because I can't force you to do it and you don't get a grade on it, but I would like you to go through the process. It helped me, and I think it'll help you. So I hope that you're enjoying some of this study. If there's anything that you want to add to it, by all means, talk to me about it. And hopefully next week, maybe we can get to a place where we can actually get some feedback because that's kind of what I want. I want to see where you're at, what your mindset is on some of this stuff. I think it's good to get feedback. I think it's good to be able to see where other people are at. And I think it'll be a good study for however many weeks the Lord wants us to do it. I don't put time limits on things, and I'm just going to do it till God says go do something different. So we'll close in a word of prayer, and we'll get ready to go into our morning service. Thomas, close us, please.